Thank you for choosing to listen to this message from our pastor, Brother Rob Coons. Let us enter now with the saints of God into a service already in progress.
Most gracious Father, we thank you and praise you, Lord God. We thank you again for an opportunity to be in your house, the house of worship, the house of prayer. And Father, as we come boldly to the throne of grace, Lord God, thanking you and praising you and worshiping you, Lord God. Father, help us this evening, Lord God, to receive, to hear, to comprehend the heights, depths, widths, and length of your word, Lord God. Speak to your people, Father God, and help them, direct them, lead them, guide them. Father, we yield and surrender all to you in the name of Jesus. Amen. You can be seated this evening. Please take to heart these requests for these children. A lot of times we hear requests of such, and you think, yeah, there's a lot of problems around the world, a lot of need. A lot of children have problems. Yeah, we know blind children. Know of children over in the hospital, there are no hair on their head from going through chemo and treatments with cancer. I've said so many times, they make boxes all sizes to bury children, infants, adults. You know, so you don't think much of it. But you know, I made mention the other day, my pastor was standing in the parking lot years ago. And there's a few of us brethren out there, and ambulance goes screaming down the highway. The pastor said, you know, brethren, he said, that thing's going after somebody's family. It might be someone's daddy, someone's mama, brother, sister, maybe someone's child. And he said, you never know, it could even be one of your family members. But when you hear that, maybe you could just whisper a little prayer and say, Lord, be with them, help them, direct them, guide them, strengthen, heal, touch. The Bible teaches us that we need to feel the infirmities of others. Some of us maybe haven't been through sorrows, heartaches, heartbreaks, mishaps, tribulations. But maybe when you do, it could make you more sensitive and more concerned for others. The average people, the average human being, we might say for expression's sake, goes through life very lascivious, lackadaisical, unconcerned. Most definitely, humanity in our day and hour is on a collision course with damnation. And they seem to be so unconcerned about it. I remember hearing a story or reading a story about a man that worked for the railroad company, and he was the guy that switched the tracks. They said his child came to see him, and I'm sure many of you read the same story. Whether it be true or fictional, whatever it may be, it makes a point. But they said his child came as his wife brought the little six-year-old or so. It was a very young little child. And instead of him going into where his father was in the switching station, he ran out on the railroad tracks. And he ran down the tracks and stuff, and he saw him get to a point that he knew he couldn't get back. And he saw this train coming, and his father had the handle for the switch. And he knew that he could switch that switch, and it would miss his child, but everybody on the passenger train would be killed. And he said he couldn't do it. He didn't push the handle. He saw these people going by in the passenger train, in their cars, he said, laughing, some partying, having a good time. Didn't realize that a father just chose that they could have life to take his own son. And I know we can go to the story about the Lord Jesus Christ in that scenario, but people just go on through life, no concern about a life that was given for they could have life abundant and eternal. But again, as I say, through observation of humanity, you see them going through life very unconcerned about eternity. I remember ministering a message many months, we might even say years ago, and I say people are more concerned about their reservations and preparations for maybe an overseas flight or even across this country or land. They go and check, make sure that their reservations are made. They make sure that everything's in order. And they check and they check and they check. They go early and they really check it out. I remember ministering this message saying they make more effort in preparation for a trip, a vacation, a frolic, than they do about all of eternity. You know, as the Bible teaches, this life is like a vapor and a mist. You're here for a moment and then you're gone. I've said so oftentimes from the sacred desk here that, you know, we look over at Esau and we think, what a fool. Sells his birthright, for expression's sake, we say a bowl of stew. And you think, what a fool. But then yet, what do we sell our birthright for? What are we guilty of selling our birthright? I've made so many analogies, we might say. Speaking of types and shadows and allegories, I've made so many examples of things that we would do differently. A man that sells his soul for a one-night stand, he's not thinking of eternity. But if he was thinking of temporal life and he knew that the woman was eat up with AIDS, he would have a power of resistance of his fleshly lust and desires, if he thought that by having this one night stand or this fling, we may say, or whatever, how you want to express it, with this woman, and knowing that he would receive a death sentence from that one night stand, he would come up with enough strength in himself to refrain from indulgence to lust. He would say, man, I'm not crazy. But then yet, they don't think about eternity. That this thing could be the one that could cut him off from God. Oh, but God's mercy, he's long-suffering, he's patient, he's gentle, he's kind. And I say, yea and amen, he is. I've used so often as an example as a man went off into adultery, willfully called himself a Christian and willfully went off into adultery, into a relationship with another individual. And he said God owes it to him to forgive him. He had to. He said God's love is unconditional and that God has to forgive him. Oh my, what kind of ignorance do we think God is? When we have that kind of an indoctrination, we're ignorant. God doesn't have to do anything. He's already gave us everything that pertains in life. He's already done that. And he's given us a will, brothers and sisters. A will. And we have to choose who we're going to serve. And whoever we serve is who we are and who is our Father. So the thing is if we choose to serve Satan and this flesh and the lust of this world, then we've chose Satan to be our Father. It wasn't God's choice for you. It was your choice. Speaking of choice, we could maybe speak a little bit about choice tonight. We could talk about you choosing God or God choosing you this night. Find out which way it truly is and who you are in Him. It's something to consider and something to think about. As I express to you right now from just talking to you, I've expressed that it's your choice, not His. It's not God's will for any to perish, not even one, the Bible says. But then yet we know that there's multitudes of thousands and thousands and millions, we could say. And I'm sure we could say billions that are perishing in eternal damnation. But it's not His will for one. He says in His word that He did not create hell for man. It was for fallen angels. But when we allow those fallen angels to enter into us and sup with us and fellowship us and take our mind. Do you realize how many people are led by the carnal mind, which is death, the Bible says. It's enmity with God and death. Do you realize how many people, brothers and sisters, are led by carnality? The Bible teaches us very clearly that the carnal mind is taken into the will of Satan at his will. This is how close the carnal mind runs with the satanic mind. You see, when you're in the mind of Christ and into the mind of revelation and into the things of God, you're thinking like God. You have the mind of Christ and you think like Him and you're walking with Him. But when you're in the mind of carnality, of human reasoning and of mankind, you're walking in death. And it's easy for you to accept the things that would pertain to this world and this life, the things that are pertaining unto death. It's easy for you to walk in those things because it's already prepared and prepped for that mind. And this is why, in one dimension, we have to transform the way we think. When you've been indoctrinated and trained to think one way, you've got to somewhere stop and get rid of that mind and say, wait a minute, I can't think this way no longer. I've got to change the way that I think. I've got to change. I've got to press into the things of God. Brothers and sisters, so many times when I speak to you, I could speak to you through the mind of Christ, of the completed perspective or aspects of what Christ has done for you. Then I could speak to you about the realm of change into the transformation realm where we're pressing our way into the kingdom of God. And I find myself so oftentimes, and sometimes we switch even from both of these two dimensions when I speak to you. I find myself speaking in the travail and warfare realm, and then I like to speak over into the mind of Christ by the Spirit of who you are in Him. And it comes to a point that you got to take and receive that and believe it and have faith in that. And when you have faith, it brings it into a manifestation, a substance, an evidence, something that's seen, comprehended. Amen. So sometimes you travail in things that you hear from the sacred desk, but you travail in them just as a woman travails until you see the child come forth. And some things you have to travail in until you see them come and birthed and come alive in your life, becomes one with you. Amen. Of who you are in Him. Open your Bibles with me this evening to the book of Ephesians. Go to the first chapter, a letter to the Ephesians, the first chapter. Let's begin at the first verse. I'm going to take my time here this evening. We're going to read a little bit. Many times we read the scriptures blindly. Many times we read them surfacely. You know, a man could walk out across this yard 1,000 times. Oh, I've done been here. I know everything that's out there. And another guy reaches down and digs under the dirt just a little bit and he pulls out a diamond. You say, wow. You might have read this many times. And I might have maybe pulled some diamonds out and shared them with you. And maybe you didn't perceive it, comprehend it, nor see it, nor understand it. And then maybe being repetitious, we go back again. Sometimes you're listening, and you're listening in the mind of the first dimension or the second, and I might be trying to bring it out in the third. So what you need to do is learn to apply all dimensions when you do it. I know this isn't something that's taught in a lot of the seminary schools or things. You know, they teach everything pretty much. We call it flatline religion. They don't differentiate. The Bible says rightly dividing the Word of God. And sometimes we read it, and people mostly study and understand the Bible in a natural realm and a natural dimension. But there's a spiritual word of life here. And when you read it naturally, it's usually future and it's usually past tense. But when you read it by the mind of Christ and by the Spirit, it's yea and amen, and it's now. Amen. This is when you quit searching for eternal life because you know you are eternal life. This is when you are not reaching and wanting and desiring peace, that you walk in peace. There's a difference. There is a great difference, brothers and sisters. Let's go to the first chapter here. Again, verse 1, we'll begin reading. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God. How many apostles, pastors, prophets, teachers, brothers and sisters, and evangelists do we have today in our land that couldn't say what we just said? He says, by the will of God. The Bible said that many are called, but few are chosen. The ones that aren't chosen are not by the will of God. They may have callings in their life. There's callings in men's life. There's callings when they're living in the world. There's callings when they're partaking of drugs and alcohol and immoralities. There's callings in their life. And there's a calling pulling upon them. But brothers and sisters, there's a difference in a calling and a choosing. And a man come to me and said, Brother Rob, I feel like I'm called into the ministry. And I said, Brother, I don't contest that whatsoever. I said, but the only thing that I do contest is the choosing. Sometimes the callings could be there, but there's been a violation to the calling that the choosing will never come because of the violations. And you say, well, that's what the blood of Jesus is for. Forgiveness, that they could be restored. And I understand restoration, but it depends on what you have fallen from. And there's times that you violated the opportunity to be restored to the calling. Yes, you can go on in repentance and have salvation. And you can go on with God. But you have violated the perspective that you couldn't be chosen of God as a leader in the fivefold ministry. Amen. I know many would dispute that. Most denominations and most churches would dispute that. But let me tell you what it's caused by disputing what I just said. We've got an organized religion throughout this world that is so full of corruption and immorality and ungodliness that it's turned the people away. I got a report here in just the last day or so of a family. They're having home services and they're meeting in their home. And the dad prays with the children and they do Bible studies and teachings and things at home. Because they've had troubles finding a church because of the corruption. You say, is that wrong? Well, brothers and sisters, it'll probably go more and more to those things because of the gross darkness that has infiltrated our country and our land and the religious orders of our land. People hear these kind of things and they would look at you as very self-righteous. They think that you're taking the grace of God away and the mercies of God. But the Bible says that it's taken to lasciviousness in this end time. You see, if we went over and read in Romans, the 6th chapter, 9, it says that we don't take this grace to lasciviousness. We don't continue on in willful sin. And this is what people do. They go on and they think that the grace of God gives them the right to continue to live a sinful lifestyle and to walk in willful sin and keep walking in disobedience. But we're not the children of disobedience, the Bible says. It teaches we're the children of light. We're the children of obedience. We're the children that walk upright in righteousness. But you see, there's another doctrine that's infiltrated the world through satanic influence and powers and ministers of Satan. And they teach it differently and contest. And they would accuse me of being under the law. And they would say that I'm taking the grace of God away. Brothers and sisters, I couldn't do that. I stand here by the grace and the mercies of God. Amen. But I pray and hope that I'm not standing here in lasciviousness with willful sin and disobedience, continually walking against the things of God and continually partaking of the things of the world. I'm not guilty of that. This is why there's dangerous doctrines out there of sin, doctrines that we sin every day and that we're all sinners. And they teach that in the churches. The Bible said if you sin, you're of the devil. Why would I come to church as a pastor that's supposed to speak to you by the mind of God and by the Spirit? Why would I come to church and teach you that you are of the devil? If I teach you that you're a sinner and you sin every day, I'm teaching you that your father's the devil. Is there any eternal life in Christ in that kind of doctrine? In that kind of teaching? You see, we can't teach those things. I was a sinner. I was born into sin and iniquity. I was appointed unto death and damnation and destruction and hell, but praise be to God that He predestined me and chose me. And He put my name down in the book of life and I wasn't, and the old things passed away. I'm now a new creature. The old man, the old creature, the old man was a sinner appointed to death, but I'm the new man is born in Christ, born again. And it's hid away in Christ. If it's sin, it's death. And you cannot be a sinner and have eternal life. Sinners are predestined to damnation. This is why we change. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus. Grace be to you, verse 2. And peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. I want that kind of peace. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. How many of you want to be in them heavenly places that you can receive all of the spiritual blessings? Amen. All of the spiritual blessings. I want all the spiritual blessings. Well, you're a greedy rascal, man. You can call me whatever you want, but I want everything God's got for me. Amen. Don't you? I want everything that He has for me. According as He hath chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love. Okay, who chose you? Let's read it again. According as He hath chosen us. I'm an us. In Him before the foundation of the world. So, if He chose you before the foundation of the world, this is where we can start speaking about predestination. But let's go on just a little bit here. That we should be holy and without blame before Him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the good pleasure of my will. I just like to check you out. Whose will is it? Oh, it's my will. I want to serve God. I love God. No, this was done before the world ever was. It's His will that not any perish, not even one. According that He hath chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love, having predestined us unto the adoption of the children by Jesus Christ to Himself according to the good pleasure of His will. Having predestined us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself. Now, we can split some hairs right here. How many of you have been adopted? Okay, praise God. I've got my hand up. How many of you have been birthed and born? So are you adopted or are you birthed? Which one is it? There's a difference now. I know people that have children that they've had. The mother and the father. And they brought forth and birthed a child. That is their son. And we get DNA records. Say, hey, this is his and it's hers. And then they have other children that are adopted. Now the thing is if they're good parents, you wouldn't know the difference between the adopted ones. Except they might look possibly a little different. But there's going to be the same love that's going forth to both. But there's a difference. Now, I've brought these things out in times past, and I probably won't take much time in it again, but I've brought out the difference between the adoption and the birthing. I'm born in the Spirit. The part that's adopted is this natural part of me that was born in iniquity, that is relative to this world. It looks like sin, the image of sin. This part I adopt, it's adopted in through the transformation of mind. It don't think like it was. Now see, if you adopt a poverty child that raised up in poverty and you adopt him into royalty, he's going to have to learn the way he thinks. He's going to sit at the king's table. And he's going to change and transformate from a child that had nothing, could do nothing, to transformate the way he thinks. And now he's walking in royalty. He's walking in the mansions and the king's palaces. And now he's adopted in and he can have all of these things. You see, there's a change of mind and a way of thinking. So when this part of me is adopted in to righteousness, I brought this thing out talking about the earth tilted on its axis, wobbling through space, and one day the earth is going to snap upright. The core is upright. The shell of this earth, science proved, has walked around from the ice caps and things, have got it out of balance. And this thing's wobbling through, and this gives us the seasons and the changes. And this thing, as those polar caps melt down a little bit, this thing is going to absolutely pull itself back upright, moving the cores upright in its outer part. When it pulls upright, it's going to change the climate and everything into a millennium climate in this world. Now, science has already seen this and saw it coming and speaks about this, but it's something in the Word of God. It's something that all these different dimensions have got to fit. There's an earth, there's an earthen vessel, and then there's a spiritual one that's changed after it goes through the metamorphosis. So we line all these up and we look at it, and God shows us, confirms in the mouth of two or three witnesses. He confirms it in a water, blood, and spirit dimension, a natural, physical, and spiritual, first, second, and third heaven. He confirms these things and shows them to us. This is why some people are moved by every wind of doctrine, because they don't understand these things of God and the dimensional projections of God. But if they would learn to find themselves, to study, to show themselves approved, a workman who need not be ashamed, that could rightly divide and differentiate the things of God and His Word, then they could understand and perceive, and they wouldn't be moved by all the different doctrines. People get very arrogant in doctrine and overconfident and dogmatic. I'm very dogmatic about a lot of doctrine, brothers and sisters. But sometimes people get that way and they're in error. They'll fight you. You see, when you find the spirit of humility, when God allows you to be the one that's in error and you fall on your face before the Lord and say, "Oh God, have mercy on me. I thought I knew something, but I didn't know what I needed to know, Lord God." Then all of a sudden that overconfidence is gone and you find yourself more sensitive to the Word. You know, the Baptists are the ones that's right. The Methodists are the ones that's right. The Pentecostals are the ones that's right. The Catholics are the ones that's right. The Church of God is the one that's right. The Mormons are the ones that's right. Everybody says the same thing. Well, we're the ones that's right. Everybody else is in error. Everybody else is messed up. Brothers and sisters, if somebody could come to you with the Bible and open it up and show you that you've missed the Word of God, then you need to make a change. Are you sensitive enough to God? Are you sensitive enough to the drawing of the Spirit of God? Do you have enough humility in your life that you could say, "God, lead me and help me and direct me"? Let's go back to verse 5. Having predestined us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will, to the praise of the glory of His grace, His will, His grace, wherein He hath made us accepted in the Beloved. He had made us by His will, by His grace. Amen. In whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace. Praise God for Jesus. Praise God for Jesus. Amen. Wherein He hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of His will, according to His good pleasure, which He hath purposed in Himself. I hope you love Jesus tonight. If you don't love Jesus, this is really going to be offensive to you. But when you fall in love with Jesus, you know that He is preeminent in all things. And if you love your little children more than you love Him, you ain't worthy of Him. And if you really fall in love with Jesus and He becomes your all in all, then this is an awesome message tonight. Amen. That in the dispensation of the fullness of time, He might gather together in one all things in Christ. Who's it going to be in? Christ. Both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in Him. That's a beautiful scripture there, brothers and sisters. In whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of Him. God, if we could only get out of the way and die, Lord Jesus. Who worketh all things after the counsel of Your own will. Now listen, I'm not going to misinterpret or misread the scriptures. I say these things for it makes the point that you could see. Again, verse 11, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of Him who worketh all things after the counsel of His own will. When things are happening in your life, remember one thing, it's the counsel after His own will. And then you'll learn to say, thank you, Lord Jesus, because it always works for my good, because I love you. Amen. Get peace and have faith and know. And you'll find that all of the animosities and all the frustrations and all the anxiousness and all them things go and depart. And just enter into His rest. Amen. Hallelujah. That we should, verse 12, that we should be to the praise of His glory who first trusted in Christ, in whom you also trusted after that you heard the word of truth, the glory of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance, until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of His glory. Now let's look at verse 14 a minute. We can understand the adoption here. Which is the earnest of our inheritance, until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of His glory. You see, when you think of the purchased possession, brothers and sisters, that's this wild part, the adopted part. It's that part. It's been purchased by the blood of the Lord Jesus. He was crucified and shed His blood, and He purchased it. Amen? We haven't wit the redemption of it, but it's redeemed already. We're the redeemed of the Lord, but we haven't wit the redemption of that body. Amen? But the Spirit is born into the kingdom of God. It's partakers with God, living with God, eternal with God, leaping for joy before the world ever was. This is why you were predestined before the foundation of the world, because you was there with Christ, hid in with Him before this world ever was. Amen. Praise God. I tell you, you know, it's an awesome place to live and to know and to dwell with God in the kingdom of God. Amen. Some are waiting for the kingdom, saying, oh, praise God, one day I'm going to go to the kingdom of God. One day I'm going to heaven. I'm going to the kingdom to live and dwell with the Lord. Well, the Bible said the kingdom's within. So what are you going to do? All of a sudden, suck inside? What's going to happen? All of a sudden, you're inside out. Then what? You ever seen when the doctor's cutting you? It ain't pretty. It's wonderfully made. It's pretty awesome the way things work. If the kingdom of God dwells within inside man, it's not all that big of a kingdom, is it? But then yet God is so big and great that He's everywhere, omnipresent. It doesn't matter the highest height that you go or the deepest depth that you go to, He's there. But then yet He dwells within me. You see, brothers and sisters, sometimes in your finite minds, you can't really understand or comprehend God. This is why this church world takes and makes three gods. They can understand a father and a son, because they see my dad come to church, he's my father, and they could see me as son, and they could understand that. So they say, well, you know, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, oh, these are three persons. If the Holy Ghost is a person, then how many persons is He? If we only got three, then somebody's left out, because the person is dwelling in me, if He's a person. And I said somewhere that this person had to fit me perfectly. But if heaven, brothers and sisters, is His throne, and earth is His footstool, and the Holy Ghost is a person, I got a big old person in me. Boy, if somebody could just cut this veil, and pow, He pops out. He shoots out. Honestly speaking, if you could cut the veil, rend the veil, break the mold, bust the shell, like what took place at Calvary, it would outshine the noonday sun. That's what our Word teaches in our Bible. So, talking about the awesomeness in God of predestination in Him. The works and the completed work is from Him. This is why I can't boast, because I'm saved by His works, not my own. How can I boast in that? I'm saved by His grace. Amen. I can't boast of my goodness, my righteousness, my holiness. So if I can't, let me just continue to walk in sin. Let me continue to walk in lasciviousness. Let me continue to walk in the lust of the world. Let me continue to walk in the pride of life. If I'm not saved because of my merits or my goodness or my deeds, I may as well just live it up in this world, because I'm predestined in God anyway, or I'm not. So it doesn't matter what I do, because I'm predestined in Him. See, there's people that think that way. That's how ignorant some people think. Well, I'm either predestined with Him or I'm not, so it don't matter what I do. So, you know, I'll just go on living however I choose. And it's whoever you commit your members to is who you are of. Faith, brothers and sisters. There's got to be faith. So am I choosing my destiny, Brother Rob? If he chose me, am I choosing my destiny by faith? Am I going to have to set faith and really believe of who I am? The Bible said make your calling and your election sure. There's some part of a work of on your part. Let's talk about the works of Christ for a moment. The works of Christ are a finished work. When you come to a knowledge of the truth, he's not going to be crucified again for you. It's a finished, completed work by his works. But when you've come to this revelation and this understanding by faith, believing in the invisible, believing in the unseen, and you come to faith and believe that, then we find expressed in the scriptures, I'll show you my faith by my works. Do the works save you? No. Faith. Without faith, you won't know God. Without faith, you can't see God. Without faith, it's imputed to you as sin. Sin is the sting of death. So you got to have faith. Faith in what? In the completed works of Jesus Christ at Calvary. Oh, it's invisible. I wasn't there. I didn't see it. More blessed is the man that believes without seeing, the Bible says. So, I have faith. So am I saved by my faith? Is it faith that saves me? Your faith has made you whole. Your faith has set you free. Your faith. So we have to have faith. And faith comes how? By hearing of the word of God. But then yet there's people sitting in churches all around the world that are not producing faith, but they're hearing what they say is the word of God. But Jesus, the word, made manifest. The word walked among men. The word robed himself, brothers and sisters, in a flesh and tabernacle. And the word stood there and spoke with an audible expression, an audible utterance. And he spoke to the people. And he said, the word said, though you have ears, you do not hear. And though you have eyes, you don't see. If they don't have ears to hear, how could faith come? But I sit in church. I hear the word. I hear the preaching of the word. I hear the word. I must have faith. But then some don't have ears to hear. What is it that they need? What is it that they need, brothers and sisters? They need a miracle. We're serving a miracle working God. You see, that might not make a lot of sense to you, but it makes to me. You know why? Because I was one that sat and thought I heard and found out that I wasn't hearing. And then when I finally received and heard, it changed my life. Even though I went through a change prior to the real hearing, I went through a metamorphosis, so to speak, a change, a transformation. You see, brothers and sisters, there are people that are serving God in what we call will worship. They will a performance, and this is a positive, good thing. But somewhere within this will and in this performance, there needs to be a true birth. It has to be. We're talking about making a calling and an election sure. Could you be one to find fault with God if he has one vessel to honor and another to dishonor? I hope not. The first place and thing that you've got to come to understanding is that God loves you. That he even loved the world so much that he gave his only begotten son that whosoever would believe in him will not perish but have everlasting life. Satan preaches that scripture more than the ministers of the gospel do because they take it without understanding. Oh, God loved me so much he died for me on the cross so surely he wouldn't let me go to hell because he died for me. He shed his blood for me. He shed his blood for me, and he surely wouldn't let me go to hell because that would make his works in vain. That's a good way to think, brothers and sisters, when you're walking in righteousness. But when you're walking in lasciviousness and willful sin, it's a terrible way to think. I thought you said, Brother Rob, that we can't earn our salvation. You're not going to earn your salvation, but you're going to show it. An apple tree has apples on it. It didn't make it an apple tree because it had apples. When you put that little seed in the ground and it poked up through the dirt and that little sprout came up, that's an apple tree. Now, me or you might not know that. We might have to see, you know, if we went and planted, somebody said, here's a bunch of fruit trees and we go stick them in the ground. Somebody took the little labels off. We stick this one over here and this one over here. What kind of fruit tree is that, brother? I'm not sure, but we'll know one day. What's that one over there? I'm not sure, but we'll know one day. I'm not sure, we'll know one day. Well, one day, fruit pops out on that tree. And you say, oh, okay, that's the apple tree right there. That's the cherry tree right there. That's the peach tree right there. Brothers and sisters, it always was that. You see, let's talk about you now. Maybe you didn't have fruit on your tree. People say, man, that guy's a devil. He's a demon. He's a heathen. He's a whoremonger. He's a drunk. But somebody through the foreknowledge of God and predestination looked on down there and said, oh, no, that's a blood-bought, born-again child of the Most High King. Hallelujah. You just don't see the fruits yet. What would be the difference, brothers and sisters? All allegories fit. But you could take an old thorn tree and tape apples on it, and you could pull them and eat them for a day or two. It ain't going to make it an apple tree. When you're predestined in Christ, you're predestined in His works, and you will yield forth, brothers and sisters, after His Spirit. You will. It's foreordained and predestined for you in His glory, in His works, in His grace, in His mercy, for you to do that. And you will. You will do it. You will bring it forth. When you start getting into some dimensional projection, and I talk about the foreknowledge of God, the predestination of God, the finished work of Christ, the sealing in, the hid away, it could bring a power and a strength and a peace to you, and it should, but not to lasciviousness. I've said this in times past, and I'll say it again. Do I yield forth the fruit of the Spirit for me? Does a fruit tree out there in the garden, who's it yielding the fruit for? Does the tree eat of its own fruit? Now think about it, brothers and sisters. I know that it could fall off to the ground and rot and bring some nourishment through the decay and the different things to that tree. Yes. And then when I preach and teach the word, yes, I find nourishment and things as I do it. But brothers and sisters, the fruit of the Spirit of Christ isn't for your salvation. It's for others. The works of Jesus Christ that He walked in and the things that He done. I've said this so many times, brothers. He did not walk in righteousness and walk in holiness and walk in power, walk as an overcomer for His salvation. He knew who He was. He's the one that spoke all things into an existence. All powers, all principalities. Spoke this earth into an existence. This universe. He created all things. He had no beginning nor no end. He knew who He was. But He brought forth, brothers and sisters, and did the works that He did for you. And when you've truly fallen in love with the Lord Jesus, then you're willing to lay your life down for others. And if you haven't come to a place that you're willing to lay your life down, then there's a question mark. There's something uncertain that's taking place in you. When you walk in selfishness and greediness and everything is for you and about you, and the way you judge everybody and look at everybody and deal with everybody is the way that they deal with you or what they can do for you or how they please you or this and that. And you find animosity and railing and anger and animosities and strife and discord and division and all those things in you because of what somebody's done or looked or did you, then you're not there. You can't be there. Go ahead, drive the nails in. Father, forgive them. They don't know what they do. I've used time and time and time and time again the example of a man standing, you know, praising God, hallelujah, everything's fine. A guy walks up, pow! And I mean, knocks him into next week. And the guy that hit him falls on his face before the Lord and says, oh God, have mercy on me. Why did I do such a foolish thing? And he'll pay a price. The Bible said God chastens them that He loves, and if it's the predestined elect child of God, He'll pay a price for that. I promise you, He will pay a price. And he can find mercy and forgiveness with God and enter right into the throne of God. He can enter in eternal life and rejoice and praise God forever. And the other guy was really okay guy. He loved the Lord and he's worshiping and praising God. Hallelujah, praise God, glory be to God. And this guy come knocked his lights out. He done two backflips, landed on his back and he laid there. And he got up, got angry, let hate come in and he started hating that man that done that. Started speaking and sowing strife and discord and speaking evil of that man. And that man find himself being cut off from God and put into eternal damnation now. Boy, it don't seem right, Brother Rom. Oh, it's exactly right. Because God knew what was laying in that man's heart the whole time. And he knew that he had to get that thing out. And he chose the mercies of God. The preparation of a man's heart is from God. And God prepared that man's heart by the hardening of his heart. And he said, you go over there and you slap the fire out of that guy. I mean, you knock him good. And you take him rare back and you hit him so hard. And you say, oh, wait a minute, Brother Rob. I can't buy this story. I just can't see my God doing such a thing as that. There's just no way my God is going to tell somebody. Evil can't come to your city lest I send it, saith the Lord. That's what he said. And all things work after, we just read, after his will. No, it wasn't his will to see you get slapped around, but it was his desire and his will to see you overcome anger, to see you overcome bitterness, to see you overcome hatred, to see you overcome jealousy and strife and envy. And you had to get those things out of your heart and they had to be exposed. God's mercy. God's real. God's good. Amen. Are you serving a good God? See, people just think they understand God. How many times have I used for an example? If I wanted to be a champion boxer, I'm going to go hire some little limp-wristed, sissy-fied little guy to be my sparring partner. You know, come in, oh, don't hit me.
Well, I'm a tough guy.
I wouldn't be much of a fighter, would I? I better get some big old boy like Dale. Get him in the ring with me. Say, come on. I better get me a big boy like that. Say, come on, boy, what can you do? Oh, that hurts. If your sparring partner, if he's good and he can get through and slap the fire out of you, pretty soon you're going to learn maybe to keep that guard up a little bit. Brothers and sisters, the Bible said we're good soldiers for Christ. Good soldiers. What are soldiers? Are they guys that just go on R&R trips all the time? Hey, we're over here in paradise, Hawaii. They're riding home. Oh, we're over here surfing. Oh, we're over here in Iraq. We're sand duning, man, you know. What's a soldier doing? There's a purpose and a reason. What are you fighting against? What is it, brothers and sisters, if we're a soldier? You see, I could go back into the message of predestination and talk about, but there's also another realm, brothers and sisters, that we're fighting and pressing our way into the kingdom of God. You say, well, Brother Rob, you just said that we're translated into the marvelous kingdom of God. We're born into the kingdom. I like to talk about that. It's all said and done. It's all sealed in. It's all taken care of before the world ever was. Glory to God. I'm a son of God. I say, praise God. Keep thinking that way. Keep talking that way. And then you're going to get to prove sonship. What do sons of God do? We got an example. His name was Jesus, the firstborn of many brethren. What did he do? He come walked among men doing good to them that hated him, good to them that despitefully used him, good to them that spit in his face, good to them that plucked his beard, good to them that slapped him, and he turned the other cheek. This is what he did, and he showed that. This is what you're going to do. That's what you're predestined for. You're predestined into suffering. You're predestined into the cross. You're predestined into that life. You understand that? So now we're talking about being predestined. Oh, but it's into royalty. It's into kingship, a royal priesthood, a chosen generation. What's the generation chosen for? Brothers and sisters, we're about the Father's business. He said, greater things will you do even than what I did when I walked among you. Greater things. Greater things. That's awesome. I've witnessed it because he brought me to another world. He came in blood life and finished it and done away with it. Took it to the cross of Calvary and done away with it. And he introduced another covenant. And it was a covenant of spirit, brothers and sisters. It's a spiritual covenant where we could walk thereby, be led by the Spirit, walk in the Spirit, pray in the Spirit. It's something you must learn to do if you're spiritual. Paul said, I'd like to speak to you as unto spirituals. But I find you still yet natural, still yet carnal, still yet thinking like a man. Man wants preeminence. Man wants recognition. Man wants power. Man's proud. Man's full of pride. Man wants you to submit to him. Jesus washed their feet. You see, brothers and sisters, we've got to learn that man has to submit and subject. To enter into the kingdom of God, the Bible said you got to become like a little child. What do you do when your little child decides it's going out on the town and he's 8 years old, 7 years old? You stop him at the door. Is that what you do? You stop him at the door and say, son, you're not going nowhere. It's too late out there. You can't go. That's if you have your house in order. So if I'm going to enter into the kingdom of God, I got to become as a child. That means that I lose my will and I enter into his will. What was the Father's will for the Son? What was it, brothers and sisters? He was predestined to walk down through Dolorosa and to go to a cross and go to a little mount called Calvary. It was predestined, foreordained in the foreknowledge of God before the world ever was, because he said he was crucified before the world ever was. It was something that had to take place. But praise God, I'm a son of God. I'm a king's kid, a royal chosen generation. Amen. And boy, I just get to walk and praise God. Hallelujah. I get to just live it up. Glory to God. And just this and that. You ain't never seen predestination. The Bible said that this life of vanity and vexation to the spirit. He said it's grievous. Well, Jesus was a man acquainted with grief and sorrow. This isn't our kingdom here, brothers and sisters. We're walking, yes, in the kingdom of God, because we don't walk by sight. We walk by faith. Amen. And we take, brothers and sisters, but we know that we're here to be spit upon, to be mocked and to be ridiculed, the offscouring of the earth, to be hated because they hated him. But people think that this Christianity and everybody loves you and everybody likes you. If everybody loves you and everybody likes you, you don't know God nor have God. This isn't a very popular message. It's not very good. You know, I'm preaching. I don't like it. I love everybody to like me. I want everybody to say, hey, brother. You know, I just want to just get along with everybody. It's not that way. You remember the little story I shared about the man that came back from Africa with the same time Truman came home, the president? Been in the mission field for 25 years. The president goes over into another country to go on a safari, kills a bunch of animals. They come back in the parade and the confetti and everything's flying. They're welcoming him home. See, that man, it wasn't his time yet. The missionary said, what, this don't make sense. Been over there 25 years. Nobody's here to greet me. Where's the whistles, the horns, the confetti? And the Lord spoke to him and said, you're not home yet. You see, brothers and sisters, I'm not looking for convenience right now. I'm not looking for an easy road right now. You see, brothers and sisters, we have been elected by God to bring forth the good news of the gospel. We could conform to the religious ways of America. I've been around a lot of places and a lot of teachings and things. Boy, on the day of adversity, boy, you need to consider your ways. They better go back and talk to Jesus about that. I understand that scripture. And when sometimes things are happening and don't seem like it's all working out, I need to consider, hey, Lord, is this where you want me to be? Is this the road I'm supposed to be on? Is this what I'm supposed to be doing? And I hear him assure me, say, yes, son, my grace is sufficient for you. You could endure. You could handle the hardship like a good soldier in Christ. You could press in and you could keep on going. And when they spit and when they mock and when they laugh, just love them. Amen? The Bible said you love them and they turn and rend you. He wanted me to fellowship him in his suffering. He wanted me to understand those things. For I could be more like him. That I could be a Christian and a teacher and a preacher of the gospel. So you think before a man could preach the gospel that he's going to have to learn to fellowship God in suffering? Well, he said it in his word. Do you think it's necessary? It's necessary for him. And he was the firstborn of many brethren. And he's our example. And he tells us to equip ourselves with the mind of suffering. He teaches us in his word that we'll be persecuted. And even goes to the fact of warning us if we're not. If you take this gospel about Jesus that's being ministered today in the world, no, you're not going to get persecuted for that. Because everybody's going to go to heaven. Everybody's going to be there. I mean, what in this world right here in your little North America right here, what is a sin that keeps you out of heaven? Somebody tell me! What sin keeps you out of heaven in America? The queers and the faggots and the prostitutes and the whoremongers and the drunkards, they're all going to make it because the preachers are drunks. Just got a report here a couple days ago that this pastor wanted a wife. So he goes on the dating thing, finds him a date on the computer. Well, he got one. So they meet a preacher that's got to go on a dating machine to find him a wife. He sure ain't spirit led. Well, then he gets her. She comes over and meets him. The gal's looking at him. She says, I know this guy from somewhere. Big church. Big church. Got Saturday night service for the ones that want to sleep in, you know, on Sunday that don't want to get up. So they have a Saturday night service, have a Sunday morning service, two Sunday morning services. And this happened to be one of the pastors in this big mega church. And the gal goes and meets him, goes on a date with this guy. And she's looking at him and says, I'm saying, I know this guy. And then he started speaking. And she looks back. You're my pastor. Well, that's a big church, isn't it? Hey, I deal with it all the time, you know. Hey, why don't you come out and go to church with us tonight? Well, I go to church. Where do you go? Oh, you know that church over there on corner of 6th and Main Street? What's the name of it? Boy, if you don't know the name of your church, you ain't much of a churchgoer. So we pass over that one. Well, what's the pastor's name? Oh, yeah. Well, maybe he just got a bad memory. No, he's lost on his way to hell. Quit buttering everything up. People know they're pastors. When they're born again and they love the Lord, they know who the man of God is. And they subject and submit themselves to the house of God and to the man of God. The Bible said we submit one to another. Who in United States of America is lost? If the faggot could have salvation and have a church, what does come out of the world mean? What does be a separate people mean? What does it mean to be peculiar? Where are these definitions in the house of God today? Brotherman's a fine man. He's a friend of mine. We're trying to help him and work with him and do different things. We don't see eye to eye on things. His wife watches Trinity Broadcasting Network. You turn that thing on in front of me and I'll vomit. I'm sorry. I will vomit. And if I go to watch it twice, I'll lap up my own vomit. I'm sorry. That's what the Bible says. You think it says that for we can all go, oh, it looks good, sounds good. I can't wait to get some. No, it should turn your stomach. But brothers and sisters, I do say this, that I could take you into the Word of God and into the Scriptures. I could take you to even where Brother Paul was speaking his own self in the writings here in the Word of God. He started speaking and the high priest commanded him to be smitten across the face. People say when they hear you speak out, not to speak against God's elect, and I wouldn't. Or God's anointed. The Bible says not to speak against dignitaries. And first you got to define what a dignitary is. They have dignity. We have to be careful, brothers and sisters, how we speak and what we speak against. We don't want to speak against God's anointed nor God's elect. God's anointed, God's elect lead people into the truth. The ministers of Satan, they transform themselves. They look like God's elect. They talk like God's elect. They act like God's elect. But they lead people into eternal damnation. I've heard too many times holiness being mocked on TBN where it makes me want to vomit. They mock holiness. And my Bible says, without holiness, no man shall see God. Oh, but that's a spirit of holiness. The Bible says, present your body, your soul, and your spirit holy. You see, we better start differentiating God's word. When we think that we're holy and we look like sluts and dogs and pigs and swines and whoremongers, adulterers and fornicators, and that's what you are. Dresses becometh holy, the Bible says. You see, brothers and sisters, we better get in the Word. We need to get out of the layout of the seeing day doctrine of its lasciviousness and its lukewarmness and its filth. The Bible says you work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Fear and trembling. I watch people's spirits. I'm a pastor. I'm supposed to watch. I'm supposed to judge. Judgment begins in the house of God. And I watch and I judge and I watch and I preach and I pour my heart out because I see people start compromising. I see people start reaching out a little bit into the world a little bit more and start trying to feel their way. Just how far can I go over this way? How close can I walk to this ledge? I'll tell you what, when you slip off of it and you find yourself into eternal flames, I don't want to walk close to it, brothers and sisters. I want to get way over away from that edge. I want to get way over there on that street called straight, on that path, brothers and sisters, of that straight and narrow way. I want to get on that and I want to be walking with Jesus, amen. Hallelujah. Boy, when people start looking for their liberties and what they can do, and you know, well, just, you know, hey, start playing with the grace of God. Oh, but you know, hey, he's grace. Yeah, he's graceful. He's merciful. I remember my pastor telling a man, he said, brother, he said, man, he said, I know that you think God's so graceful and so merciful and so long-suffering because he surely has been with you. But he said, God's fixing to turn like a bear being robbed of her cubs, the Bible says. And he said, he'll rip you into pieces and rend you into pieces. The Bible said he pursues them off the face of the earth. Amen. That's what the Bible said. But people, oh, no, not God. He wouldn't do that. Oh, let me tell you, there's been people turned over to reprobate minds. They believe a lie and they're damned. They go on, they talk about God and this and that. They're in torment in their minds and they're just tormented day and night. It's sad. I've seen it. I could call names. I see people in torment that are religious. They're so religious. And they think they know God. And they think they have God. They think they're walking with God. And they're religious. And they're full of dead men's bones. And they don't got no strength, no power, no authority, no anointing, no love, no power, no virtue in their lives. It's sad. Like I say, miracles could take place in your midst. And people don't even see it because they're living in another world. They live in a world that they see, they touch, they feel, they smell. And they're moved by it. The woman goes by with her perfume and they float away. Get away from the five senses. Get away from those fleshly senses and come into the mind of Christ and the mind of revelation, the mind of the Spirit. Stand together with me. I'm going to read verse 18 and 19 to you as the musicians come back up. I'll go to 17. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of His calling. That's an awesome statement. That you may know what is the hope of His calling. It's His calling. Sometimes if you knew the hope of it, what it was in store, you'd run from it. This is why He's got to lead you into it little by little and prepare you and strengthen you and gird you up. And what the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of His power to usward who believe, according to the working of His mighty power, which He wrought in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and set Him at His own right hand in heavenly places, for above all principalities and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world but also in that which is to come, and hath put all things under His feet and gave Him to be the head over all things to the church, which is His body, the fullness of Him that filleth all in all. Oh, I love the word. I better close it because I just get on reading. I love to read the word. Amen. I hope you're in love with the word. And I hope you know the spirit of His word. Amen. And I hope you've been filled with His word to overflowing. Amen. I love you and appreciate y'all. Brother Pike, he made a statement one time. He said, I know I preach at y'all like you're going to hell. And he said, but I preach like that for none of you will. Amen. And I know I talk to you sometimes and preach kind of hard and sound strong. But brothers and sisters, I see people in a day of falling away, and I see people falling away, and it alarms me. It scares me. I don't know how to say it. I mean, it just tears me up to see people that you love and people that you know and people that you're concerned about, people that you'd lay your life down for. They just walk away from God and deny Him and mock Him and spit in His face in this present day and hour. It's sad. So sometimes I scream and yell a little bit to make sure that you're listening and you're here. And stay tuned in to the still small voice of the Most High King. And let Him be your God, your Lord, your King, your salvation, the lily of your valley. Let Him be your all in all, the preeminent one. Let Him be the high priest of your confession. Amen. Let's sing a song or two and we'll close the service. Remember these little children with this eye disease. I know a doctor named Jesus that has an antidote. If He didn't resurrect, brothers and sisters, I wouldn't have no tomorrow. But because He lives and He is the resurrection, and He fulfilled His word and His promises, and He granted His spirit back to us as the body of the Lord Jesus Christ, and He gave us His spirit, held nothing back from us, then we live. Amen. Hallelujah. And we could face tomorrow. We could face the adversary. We could face the enemy. We could face persecution, tribulation, and suffering. Amen. Because He lives. He is our God. Amen. And our Lord. He's ever present in your day of need. Hallelujah. Trust Him. Walk with Him. Fellowship with Him. Talk to Him. Hallelujah. Fall in love with Him. Amen. Thank you, Lord Jesus. I love you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Because you live, God, I live. Hallelujah. Because of your strength, I'm strong. Because of your power, I have all power and authority. Because you have abolished death, I cannot die. Because you overcame, I'm an overcomer. Thank you, Lord Jesus. I'm nothing outside of you, but in you and predestined in you and through you. I am all in all. And I have everything that pertaineth unto life. And all I could say, Lord Jesus, is thank you. I praise you and I worship you. And I owe you everything. Hallelujah. I want to lay my life down. I want to give it as a living sacrifice, O God. Amen. Because you are my example. And you laid your life down that I could have life. And your word says that if I try to save my life, I lose it. So, Lord God, I want to lay it down. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise Him. Worship Him. Talk to Him. He's your Lord, your King, your salvation. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus.
We hope this message has enlightened and encouraged you. If you would like to receive other messages and teachings from Brother Rob, please feel free to contact us. Our web address is christiantempleonline.org. Or you may write us at Christian Temple, P.O. Box 735, High Point, North Carolina 27261. We, the Brothers and Sisters of Christian Temple, would like to invite you to come worship with us. Our services are at 10 a.m. on Sunday morning and 7 p.m. on Wednesday and Friday nights. We are located at 3842 Mount Gilead Church Road, Sophie, North Carolina, 27350. For directions, go to christiantempleonline.org/map. Thank you again for listening, and may God richly bless you.